What's up, everybody? It's your boy George Carmi from Full Press Coverage Commanders. We're here to talk about the Carolina Panthers. Let's get it on. What's up, guys? Thank you for spending your afternoon with me today. I'm joined with Rashad from the Panthers Nation podcast. Great YouTube channel. You guys should definitely subscribe. 17,000 followers. Some great interviews on there. Rashad, how you doing today, bro?
Man, I'm good. Football is back. We got Fan Fest tonight, so it's going to be lit, man. I'm happy.
Sounds good, man. I'm also joined by Full Press Coverage Zone, Tony Wheat. How you doing, bro? Across the pond, Tony Wheat. How you doing, bro?
Across the pond, yeah. It's pretty warm here, actually, for a change, so I'm good. I'm sweating, which is unusual. Normally shivering.
Sounds good, man. So, as we all know, the Commanders are taking on the Carolina Panthers this Saturday at 1 p.m. for a preseason game. I wanted to dip in with Rashad. He's a great great guest I had last year. Very knowledgeable about the Panthers. I just wanted to kind of check in with that. So, Rashad, tell me, man. So, what's the story going on in Carolina, man? Like, what's going on? Things are positive over there. Looking negative? Like, let it all out, man. Just educate me. What's going on with the Panthers right now? How's it going,
man? So all is well with the Panthers. You know. We got a lot going on with the quarterback position. As you know, we drafted Matt Corral, ended up picking up Baker Mayfield. So things are, I mean, you know, that's the biggest question mark for the Panthers is who's going to lead the team. And after training camp, you know, our coach is not going to give us the answer, but we all know Baker Mayfield is going to be the guy. And as a guy that was 1,000% against bringing Baker Mayfield to the Carolina Panthers, he looks all right out there. I'm not going to lie. He looks pretty good. Completely different from what our offense has normally dealt with over the past couple of years. Our offense has been safe, dink and dunk, possession offense. And I think with McAdoo at the helm and calling the plays and what Baker's doing and his tendency to kind of take some chances, this is something we haven't seen here in a long time. So what I've seen in camp is Baker's getting that connection. It was a rough start, and as it should be, you know, he doesn't have the chemistry. He came in. He just got signed maybe a week before training camp. Yeah, 100%. So it was rough the first day or so. But once he got it going, he's starting to get the connection with Robbie Anderson, who didn't want him here.
I know. That was crazy. We got to talk about that. Want him.
But those are some of those guys are getting the connection going. I'm seeing about
that's good.
Two 30, 40 plus pass, 30 plus yard passes.
Deep passes.
To Robbie, but from Baker. So I mean, it's all good. I mean, I felt like Robbie too, man. I felt like, you know, Robbie, we didn't want another quarterback here. We didn't want another average to below average quarterback. And that's
what it was, Rashad. Were you against Baker because you didn't want him and you wanted to stick with Darnold, or did you want to bring somebody else in? Or
I don't think anybody in their right mind wants to stick with Darnold. But I think that, you know, I think we made our bid when we took the fifth-year option to Darnold. And I just didn't want to overpay for another quarterback because we did that. We did that with Teddy Bridgewater. We had to essentially take money to trade him. We took Baker Mayfield's we took Sam Darnold's fifth-year option, was another $18 million towards the cap. And so I just didn't want to see another piss-poor contract for another bad average to below-average quarterback. And so the way the trade was executed, we're only paying – Baker $5 million a year for this year. So the way the trade was executed, loved it. And so now that we got the money is not a problem, I'm like, all right, I can deal with this. And he's from a play standpoint, he's actually looking pretty good out there. So I'm not mad at all. I'm not mad at all.
There's some rumors that they're trying to get rid of Darnold via trade. Is anything you heard anything more on that?
False. Not true. $18 million. It's too late to trade him. Yeah, nobody's taking that. So it sounded stupid when it was out there, and it's not happening.
So Rashad, we could definitely empathize here in DC with the whole quarterback carousel. So I definitely know where you're at right there.
Oh, yeah.
Just to kind of vouch for you, I actually kind of like Baker Mayfield. Like, I don't know how I'd feel if he was my starting quarterback, because there was talk about him coming over to DC as well. Yep. You love his fight. You kind of empathize with him and sympathize with what happened with him in Cleveland. He definitely got, I feel he got a bad rap at the end of his career and basically kind of dragged him along a little bit. So I'm rooting for him. Actually, I do want him. And I know you guys play the Browns week one, so that's a good revenge game to go down. So that'll be really interesting.
That game is going to be very interesting. And Baker, listen, we've
dealt with it. Is that in Carolina or is that in Cleveland?
It's in Charlotte. It's going to be, okay, yeah. It's
that's
gonna
awesome.
Be
hell yeah. They'll be crowd behind them. That'll be cool.
So I think the thing, we've dealt with this type of quarterback in Baker Mayfield before. We had a guy by the name of Cam Newton. I don't know if you remember.
I've heard of him before. It's pretty good.
Yeah. He's a pretty good guy, right? And he's that person. He has that personality where when he's on your team, you love him. And when he's not, you hate him.
Yeah.
Same thing with Baker. So we're used to it. We can handle this
polarizing.
Type of and I like it. Listen, I love that added that we have. We've been dealing with Sam Darnold, bro. I give me a quarterback that has some personality. I love it. As long as you go out there and you get some W's and put some W's in the win column, I don't care what you out there doing. Get the W's,
100%. So real quick question, because my next question was going to be about quarterbacks anyway. How's the reps being broken up in camp? Is Baker Mayfield like the undisputed QB1? Have you been to camp yet?
I've been several times.
How's it going out there?
So I don't like the way this is handled. I hate it. I hate the way our coaches have handled this situation. Not only do I hate it because I feel like Baker Mayfield is not getting enough reps with the ones, but I hate it for what it's done to Matt Corral. Matt Corral, who we just drafted.
I like Corral. Right? Matt Corral's a good player.
I love Corral, especially in the third round. I love him. I didn't like him in six or wherever in the first round, but I love him in the third round. It's completely changes the perception completely. Yeah, exactly. Great value. So I love the guy, and he's taking like fourteen reps. And he's barely getting on the field because we're trying to figure out this quarterback situation, this quote unquote competition. That's not a real competition. Let's be honest. Let's not play with ourselves. Baker Mayfield is going to be the guy, and Matt Rhule is giving both of these guys between Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield reps at once. They're splitting. Well, you see Baker Mayfield if they're doing 7-on-7s. Baker Mayfield will start with the ones, and then Sam will play with the twos, and then we'll do 11-on-11s. It would be
What's the rationale behind that, Rashad? Is it because they view Sam Darnold as a talented player? Or like, I know, didn't they give up a second round pick for Sam Darnold? Like,
we gave up a second and a fourth, I believe. So they're stuck. They're stuck with him
a little bit. Is that
what it is, bro? Okay. Yeah, they're stuck with him, man. And so they want to give him every single opportunity to fail. And he hasn't done anything to prove that he's the guy. He's been here. He's been here all mini camp. Again, McAdoo just got here, so everybody's pretty much starting from scratch. But he had a head start. He had the head start. He knows he has a better grasp of the offense than Baker. But Baker comes out, and he's just like – I mean, you're seeing Baker sees the field way better. Like, Sam Darnold he's so safe. He's trying not to make a mistake, and it just looks like it. Like, you can tell, right? Yeah. Baker Mayfield's out there just slaying. He's comfortable. He's got, you know, the experience. He's been on a winner. And so he just knows how to play the game better. And I'm not saying it's going to translate. I don't know. Because Baker's not going to have the number one run offense. He's not going to have the number one offensive line here in Carolina. That's just not going to happen. So he's going to have to do some work. And we have yet to see it. That's why we're looking forward to week one. We're looking forward to Saturday.
How's McAdoo's offense differ from what you had last year? How does it compare? I know you fired the OC towards the end of the season last year.
Yeah. So we got rid of Joe Brady. Joe Brady came from college, and it just didn't work. I think they had two different philosophies, Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, and it just didn't work. And I don't know what to expect from McAdoo. I know he likes using his tight ends. He likes to run the football, and I just don't know how that's going to work. It kind of meshes with Baker because Baker came from the run first system. But I just want to see some offense is going to take some chances. I don't know what I'm going to see from McAdoo, but I just want to see an offense that's going to be able to make some plays when not just be a safe offense, right? Not an offense that's going to play not to lose, right? I want to play to win. That's what our offense wants to – I want to dictate offense. It's so many times where we've been in games, especially last year, where we'll depend on our defense. We'll rely on our defense. And when our defense can't make a stop – then you put an offense out there that's not prepared, right? This offense is not designed, or last year, excuse me, was not designed to go out there and win a game. This year, I want to see that. We've got the weapons. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall, Christian McCaffrey, for God's sakes. We added Deontay Foreman, who's a battering ram. offensive line is going to be much better. So we've got what it takes. I just hope they actually go out there and change the philosophy a bit when it comes to, you know, letting the offense go out there and play to win.
Yeah, I remember like us talking last year. You're really high on the defense when we were playing last year. I think you had like a 6th-ranked defense at the time and doing very, very well. So are you guys still banking on your defense this year? Is kind of leading the way, or is your offense going to be the other side? Or what are you looking at?
I don't know. I think our defense might take a little bit of a step back. To be honest with you, I think the loss. And this is just me. This is a personal opinion for me.
Yeah.
I think the loss of Hassan Reddick was huge.
Mm. Yeah,
Hassan Reddick going to Philly. That's 12. That's 12.5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think, bro, and this is my opinion, y'all gonna have to deal with Hassan twice a year, bro.
I know.
Dude is he's underrated, super underrated.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
He started off slow because he went to Arizona, right? Kind of the early start of the year, then really took off in Carolina. Why did he walk? Was it just because of the money? Was competitive, or like what happened?
It was the money, man. It was the money. And I think he played it very well because he had a relationship with our coach Matt Rhule, right? He coached him in college. So he came to Carolina for that opportunity because, to be quite frank, the Cardinals weren't using him right.
Yeah.
They used him right the last year. The last year he was there, they moved him outside, and that's when he started balling. They started using more of an edge rusher instead of being a middle guy. Mm-hmm. And so now, again, that's what we did with him. We put him out on the edge. He feasted. Playing across from Brian Burns, he was a monster. 12.5 sacks. And then, you know, obviously he wanted to be compensated for his talents. And we just couldn't. We could have did it. We just didn't. We could have paid him. We just did not do it for some reason. And I think we're going to take a step back from an edge rusher standpoint. Now, let me say this. On the opposite end, I think our secondary is the strength, right? Talking about Jeremy Chinn, who's a baller. Mm-hmm. J.C. Horn, who was J.C. not Horn. Present in the game. Yeah, he wasn't present in the game.
Did he get another injury?
No. He's rehab. He's kind of working his way back. He was in and out. He was in and out of camp. He started out in camp when it opened up, and then he took a couple of days off, came back, you know, was working by himself. So he's just working himself back. I think he's fine. They're just trying to take it easy on him. He's going to be back. And then I also think, you know, we got CJ Henderson too, who's having a monster camp. CJ Henderson, listen, former first round guy, went to the Jaguars. He's a baller. Exactly. 2 top 10 cornerbacks. And I'm telling you, we're going to be good on the outsides. Dante Jackson just got paid, another solid cornerback. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you. And then Key Taylor from Washington, who had a very good rookie season. He's going to be the 6'3 cornerback. We added Westery, I think, who came from Baltimore. He's nice. 6'4", he's a burner. I'm telling you, man, our secondary is, and it's going to be great. And then we added Xavier Woods as well. You all know.
Yeah. J.C. Horn. Honestly, J.C. Horn was my CB1 last year, man. He was a shutdown corner. It's like, you know, he's that big brute looking, you know, press you with the line and all that. But I guess last year he got hurt. Is that what happened? He kind of fell off a little bit in his ear, right?
Yeah. No. He got hurt. He got hurt week 3 and missed the rest of the year. I think it was an ACL or Achilles. I don't think it was an Achilles. I think it was an ACL. I don't know. Don't get me the. I don't. Recall off the top of my head, but it was a leg injury, a lower body injury, and he was gone for the season. And he took the whole year. He rehabbed, so it was lucky. It was early enough in the season. It was week 3 when he got hurt, so he's back. Cool. He's gonna be back.
And I guess to that point, I guess he's not gonna be playing as much during the he probably won't be in the preseason at all, right? And are any of the starters playing this week? What have you been hearing that going on from training camp?
So you probably won't see Christian McCaffrey. You probably won't see JC. You're gonna see Baker for sure. And Sam, those guys.
Have you said who's gonna start yet?
Nah, man, they're keeping all that stuff under wraps, bro. We don't know who's taking number
just
one.
Interesting to see whether Baker comes out first, because if he does, I think that's pretty much done then, isn't it?
It's gotta be Baker. They don't wanna call it, bro. He's they're waiting for. But Baker's the guy. It's a joke, honestly, that we're waiting this long to call.
Yeah.
It's an absolute joke. It really is. It's embarrassing. We put out our depth.
Are they talking about it in sports news out there? Like people like bringing it up, like, yeah, what's going on right now? Is it like hot topic?
I don't listen to that. I don't listen to like the mainstream the stuff.
That's good.
I think it's a joke. They put out the depth chart And instead of calling it, they had both of those guys at QB1. I mean, it's a joke. Like, it's interesting.
That's so weird. It's college.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's stupid, bro. It's stupid. Yeah. It's college. And, oh, we got to make them earn it and blah, blah, blah. It's stupid.
Just assuming that Baker does win the job, how well do you think he has to play this season for him to be the long-term guy? Because your Owen Tepper obviously has been on a mission to get a franchise quarterback for 3 or 4 years, ever since Cam, really. So what do you think Baker has to do? Or do you think he is a stopgap?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. Tepper is a guy that came in and said, yo, QB is a currency, right? That's he came in with that quote. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to stop, bro. They are so quarterback thirsty that it's ridiculous. And so I think it's not going to be easy for Baker Mayfield to impress them enough to get a contract, to get another contract. Mm-hmm. But if he does, I would assume, this is just me guessing, he's got to have like a 4,000-yard season. He's got to have probably like 30 touchdowns. And not only that, not only does he have to have a great individual performance, I think it's got to come in the wins and losses. We've got to at least be in contention for a wild card. We don't have to necessarily make the playoffs, I think, but you've got to have more wins than losses. So I think like a 9-8 season would be good for Baker. I just think they need something. Baker needs to be the reason. He doesn't need to be the reason why we suck, right? It has to be somebody else. It has to be the defense. It has to be the coaching. It has to be something else. And for the past couple of years, you can look at the quarterback and say, all right, we don't have the guy. And so I think Baker can do enough to get an extension, but with Matt Corral looming as well, they just picked him up. He's going to have a whole season to sit back and be evaluated and develop. I think he's going to have to knock it out the park, Baker.
The temperature's hot in Carolina, man. I didn't realize there's so much like energy over there. I guess how David Tepper brings it on, huh?
Yeah, he's not playing around. He hired this guy, Matt Rhule. This is the stupidest thing. And I'm not,
kind of out on Matt Rhule already.
I'm not a big Matt Rhule fan. I'm not a big fan of the college coach, period. They could have hired Nick Saban, and I would have hated it, just cause I'm not a fan of the college coach. It doesn't work. We have enough evidence to show that the college coach does not work in the NFL. And over the past couple seasons, we've been 5 wins, more than 5 wins. And the trajectory it didn't look good, right? Mm-hmm. Now, as a fan, I've gone to training camp, and I'm excited. I think we have enough, but it always goes back to how well coached are we going to be? It's not the talent. It's not the talent on the roster, right? We got some guys. We got the dog, DJ Ball. We got Brian Burns. We got Jeremy Chin. We've got Derrick Brown. These guys can ball, right? They can play football. Can they be coached? That's the question. And when you look back and you sit back and you look at your team, you're like, man, these guys got it, but they can't be coached.
You guys do have talent. That is a fair assessment. I think the only critique would possibly be quarterback, just like we have in DC. It's like you have a surrounding ancillary players that are pretty good, but then if you don't have a quarterback, but honestly, I think your quarterback groom is like pretty interesting. Like I think like I'd throw Sam Darnold out to be honest with you, be 100% straight up with you, but I think Baker Mayfield's pretty good. Matt Corral's a baller too, man. If he can actually get developed and kind of work along, and I mean, I liked him in the draft and getting him late too. So
it sucks how he was treated. Not treated is a bad word, but it sucked. His experience at training camp was not the one I liked. He did not get any. He barely got reps with the twos. Barely got reps with the threes, for that matter. There's so much focus on Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and trying to find that guy that Corral's getting lost in the sauce. He's taking mental reps. And I don't like that one bit.
That's not a good look at all.
I don't like that one bit.
There's no consideration for him to be like the long term, like, and you know, are they even talking about that at all? Like, you know, next year Matt Corral might start. Are they even saying that at all?
No. Wow. And to be honest, Matt Rhule can't do that. He can't afford to do that because he's on the hot seat essentially.
Like week 9 is interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. He can't afford to project. He has to win right now.
How much rope do you think he has? I mean, do you think Tepper's patience will wear thin before the end of the season if it doesn't go well? Or
honestly, I think it has to be pretty bad because he gave this man a 7-year deal. Yeah. I made him like the top 5 highest paid coach in the league at the time. Okay. And so I think he's going to have a leash, a really long leash. I think it has to be really, I think another 5-win season for Matt Rhule may do him in. But I don't expect that. I think we're going to have like maybe 7-8. If he has like a 7-8 win season, he'll be back.
Gotcha. So let's talk about Christian McCaffrey, man. He's definitely a very intriguing player. Like it's funny. I don't want to kind of dip into my own personal thing, but I have Dalvin Cook in a dynasty league, and basically one person wants to trade Dalvin Cook for Christian McCaffrey. And it's like, man, I don't know, man. His injury history is kind of scaring me a little bit. So what's going on with him? And how's the faith in Carolina? Do you guys still see him as the man? Do you guys kind of like losing a little faith in him? Like, what's going on over there?
Nah, C-Mac's the man. He's always going to be the man in Carolina. I'm a guy that I'm not big on using one running back. C-Mac is ultimately talented. He's super talented. But just the amount of reps that he had over the past 3-4 years, it's just unsustainable. It's not sustainable. He can't take that much. He's taking a pounding, bro. And we're getting 5 wins, right? Mm-hmm. It's all for what? It's all for individual performance. And I hate it. I hate it.
But then he's managing his workload this season or anything.
Yeah, we went in and you can kind of see in their actions. We'll see. I'm a believer. You got to show me. The talk and what they've done as far as bringing in guys has been great. They brought in Deontay Foreman, who I think is going to be the short down running back, the 4th-and-1, the goal line guy. He's going to be it. So that Christian won't have to take that, you know, those kind of hits.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much they're going to spread it out. You know, the Panther Nation has been crying for C-Mac to take snaps in the slot. Doesn't happen, but he'd be unbelievable in the slot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think you'll see C-Mac still get his 15, 20 touches per game. I believe it when I see it.
His first 3 years in the league, he was an iron man. He never missed a game. He was rock solid. And then the last two, obviously, he's played, 10 games in the last 32?
Check to see when them numbers hit the bank. They'll kind of coincide of when he started.
It always happens that way, right? Jeez.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And the wide receivers, man. You got a pretty good wide receiver core, right? DJ Moore. He went to Maryland, so I'm a Maryland guy, so I'm proud of that. Robbie Anderson's always explosive. Terrence Marshall was a good wide receiver coming into LSU. What's the thought on that? Are you pretty confident in them, or do you think it's a good dynamic?
Yeah.
Or
okay. Yeah, they're great. DJ Moore is a top 10 wide receiver in this league, and it's unfortunate that he gets overlooked. I mean, guys are nothing but put up numbers. He's had back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons, and would have had what funny story going back to your coach. Now he would have had more than that had Ron Rivera not put him in the doghouse for getting a speeding ticket his rookie year. Y'all, I don't know if you've dealt with that.
Not yet. We haven't had any discipline over here yet on the field.
So Ron really doesn't. When he was the Panthers coach, he really didn't do his rookies that great. They kind of had to go through this. Earning their stripes process, but going DJ, man, he's great. DJ Moore is great. Robbie Anderson again had a down season last year. I think that was due in part to the quarterback situation, and he had his part to play in it too. His hands were kind of suspect, and he had some drops. But prior to that season with Teddy Bridgewater, he was a 1,000-yard receiver. So again, we got to get Robbie back on the right path here, and I think Baker Mayfield is going to do that based on what I've seen. We've got, again, Terrace Marshall, who's banged up right now. A little bit concerned about that because the guy got banged up last year, too, and he got banged up at LSU, too. So he's got to really get it. It's unfortunate because he's
good, but he didn't do much, did he, because of injury?
Yeah, he's super talented, too, man. I love Terrace Marshall, bro, and it's unfortunate if he can't get on the field. Outside of him, Brandon Zylstra, who's a guy who can do it all, doesn't get too much hype, but he does everything. He can even kick the football if we needed him to. seriously.
That's cool.
We got a lot of guys. C.J. Saunders is a guy that you may not know, may not heard of, went to Ohio State. He got hurt, and he's going to miss a couple weeks, but he was taking reps with the ones, more of a slot guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be solid. We've got Rashard Higgins that has the connection with Baker.
From the Browns.
So we got him. Mm-hmm. He's going to be solid, and he has that connection. You've seen that connection with Baker already, so he's going to be his safety blanket. I think receiving core is great. I think that's one of the strengths of the offense.
I can see that.
Running backs. Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah, I mean, you guys, Rashad, I think you're being fair, man. I think you guys do have some talented players around the team, but just like you guys can't put it together, it's tough. And you guys I think last time we talked, it was mid-season last year, and you guys were actually in contention for potentially a playoff run at the time, right? Then you guys fell off like at the end. you guys were like
so long ago,
two.
Bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you guys were like 5-2.
Yeah,
or something at the end of the season, like five.
It was bad. We strung a lot of L's together at the end of the season.
Yeah, I remember.
We know how that feels. Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, it was bad, man.
Let's talk about the rookie class, man. So, how's the whole rookie class coming in? Like, talk about the rookie class and talk about standouts at training camp. They can be veterans too if you want.
Yeah. So Ikey, we drafted Ikey Ekwonu, who is great. Again, this is another situation where that college BS that Matt Rhule likes to play. He's splitting reps with Brady Christensen, who had a good season last year at left tackle. One can only wonder if Brady Christensen would have gotten a really good look last year at left tackle. Would we have drafted Ikey? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but Ikey's here now, and he's starting to get more reps with the ones. He's one I hope to see get a lot of reps in the game on Saturday. Don't know if it's going to happen, but I would like to see Ikey get a lot of reps.
Want him at number six? Is that who you wanted?
We needed him. Okay. We needed to fix our offense. Our offensive line is the weakest part of the offense. It's a terrible, terrible weakness to have. Okay. But we needed a left tackle. We hadn't drafted a left tackle in the first round since I believe 2008, 2009, and it showed, right? We've been cycling out left tackles forever. So we finally got one that's, you know, Ikey's a mauler. He's that run blocking mauler. So if we want to get those 1-2 yards, it's going to happen running behind Ikey. He's a beast. And we just need to get him to get more reps because obviously he was splitting reps. As far as who else did we draft? We drafted Corral. We didn't have a second round pick. We drafted Brandon Smith, the linebacker out of Penn State. He is going to be a rotational guy. If you look at our rookie class, we're not going to have a lot of guys that are going to have a major impact because there are a lot of guys that have
potato guys like linemen and traits.
Yeah, they have traits. Yeah, they have like athletic ability, but they need to be coached, right? Okay. So guys like Amari Barno, you probably remember him. He ran. Yeah. He was a defensive lineman that ran the fastest 40. He's gonna need a couple of years. He's a smaller guy, so he's gonna need some time to get right. Who else? We drafted the Barnes.
Kalen Barnes, seventh round. So we drafted
him in the seventh round. He's not gonna get much love. He's a cornerback, but he's a speed demon. He ran the fastest 40. Okay. We drafted guys that have traits, but won't necessarily see the field, right? They won't see the field a lot. Ikey's going to be our guy. Ikey's going to be the big guy that hits the field and will get most of the reps.
Gotcha. Makes sense, man. Thank you for that.
As far as standouts from training camp, it's got to be my man CJ Henderson. He had a great camp. And then CJ Saunders as well. He's a wide receiver who did end up getting hurt the last couple of days. He had a good camp as well. Outside of that, man, it was – you know, nobody too high, nobody too low. Just a solid camp for everybody.
Chopping along a little bit. Makes sense. Tony, you got a question, bro?
Yeah, I think it's kind of related a little bit to the a lot of people make a lot of fun over how Rivera came to Washington and seemingly brought a lot of ex-Panthers guys with him. Just interested, really, on your thoughts on a couple of the let's go for one big name, obviously, Curtis Samuel last year.
He barely plays for us, bro. I don't even know who Curtis Samuel is. What's going on right now?
Is he hurt again, too, right?
No, he's good. He's doing good now.
Well, it depends who you want to believe. They're managing him, apparently, and he's practicing some days, not practicing other days. So he says he's healthy, but who knows? And the other one, from a British point of view, as a Brit, he used to have F.A. Abada, who's now with us at the Commanders. What are your thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, man. So starting with Curtis Samuel. I love Curtis Samuel, dude. I absolutely love Curtis Samuel. He has to stay on the field, but we unlocked him. I think we talked about this last year, but Scott Turner unlocked him the last year of the Panthers, and he got him the football in the backfield. He got him the football in the slot. Like, he got him got him the rock, right? And so I think he had 1,000 yards all purpose the last year with the Panthers. We finally unlocked him after 3 or 4 years with us, and I love him. He just got to stay healthy, man. Health is his biggest thing. If he stays healthy, he's going to be a monster. So I love Curtis Samuel. F.A. Obata, another guy I love. Matter of fact, I was just looking through these signed jerseys I have. Yeah, and I have a signed F.A. Obata jersey. Yeah, I love F.A. Obata. I think he's a good rotational guy. I think he's going to be very good in the rotation with you all. You already have a good defensive line. I think he's going to be – you bring him off, he's going to be a problem. F.A. is a good player, bro. He's a really good player. He's going to be back home with Ron. I think he's going to be very good with you all.
I think he was a sneaky pick. People kind of overlooked that one, don't really talk about. I'm not saying he's going to be like a game wrecker or anything like that, but I think he's going to be some I think he'll get a couple of sacks here or there. I think he can move up and down the defensive line from what I understand. So
yep. He can play inside. He can play out. Yep. Yep. He's a guy you can put all over. And he's I'm telling you, he's going to be a guy that he's not going to – when you put him in there, you won't miss a beat.
Okay, cool. That's good to hear.
He's a good player, bro.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And, like, yeah, I'm optimistic about Curtis Samuel. I want him. Like, honestly, we need him here in D.C. It's just been disappointing. When we got him, I was super pumped, and I thought he would be an immediate contributor. But I think he played 5 games last year. He barely got on the field, so definitely was difficult.
On the positive side, he was at the stadium on Saturday with the practice in front of the crowd and caught a nice touchdown pass in the end zone and apparently looked pretty sharp throughout. So,
it's good.
You know, he seems to be, and then they take him out for a couple of days to rest him up, and then they put him back on again. So I think Rivera said that they're trying to, it's not so much that he's injured, they're trying to get him his conditioning right again so that he doesn't re-injure himself. So if that's to be believed, and let's hope it is, then, you know, when he's actually been practicing, I mean, you were there, George, I don't know whether he was there that day, but, you know, he's looked pretty sharp in practice by all accounts.
Yeah, he looks pretty nimble. He looks pretty good. I think he's going to play. I think they're just kind of measuring him and getting him back on the right spot.
Yeah.
So speaking of Carolina,
you guys have a ton of Panthers on your
roster. I was just about to say, speaking of the Carolina pipeline, so we have, it's basically Carolina North over here. Starting guards should be Andrew Norwell and Trey Turner. So give us something. I mean, what's going on with them? And we, like, you know, honestly, training camp, they're not really even playing that much. Trey Turner has a strained calf right now. I think hasn't even like got on the field. Andrew Norwell just started practicing last week. Is that something that's tell us about them? Like, are they over the hill now? Like, do you enjoy them? Like, I don't know what happened.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's been a while since I've watched both of these guys. Funny enough, these guys were our starting guards for the Super Bowl run. Okay. Right? So when we went to the Super Bowl, Andrew Norwell, who was undrafted at the time, and Trey Turner were our starting guards, right? Mm-hmm. And so obviously we had Cam, so we helped that out a little bit. But yeah, man, Trey just got to stay healthy. Another one's got to stay healthy. He hadn't been playing that well, and he hasn't played that well in a long time. So I wouldn't expect too much out of him.
Good to know. Fair.
Yeah, I just being fair. And Norwell, I haven't seen Norwell play in a while, bro. He went to the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know he was up and down with the Jaguars, so I'm not sure. With those two guys, man, I'm not sure, bro. I'm not sure if I would want Trey as a starter.
he might honestly. Not start, but we drafted him to be part of the rotation. We picked him up to be part of the rotation. But, yeah, I mean, that's good to know. That's good. It sounds like you're more worried about Trey, man, than Andrew. Yeah.
Norwell, just because I don't know much. I know much more about Trey than I do Norwell. Norwell was with us for like a couple of years. Well, he was with us for a while, and then he got his shot at the Super Bowl run. Then he got paid, so we hadn't seen him really. I haven't really seen him execute at a high level in a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Trey, I know Trey very well. And again, he had a run with the Chargers. He had a run with the Steelers. So he's starting to bounce teams.
That's when it gets pretty shady right there, right? Yes, I feel you.
Yeah,
So we threw
you got a lot. We got a couple more too. You want to go through them? So you got Alex Arma, who is your fullback, right? I love Arma. Arma's a great guy. I don't know how often you're going to use a fullback, but
we haven't even talked. He doesn't come up in training. He doesn't come up yet around here. But we knew he's on the roster. But you like him?
Physical guy. He's a physical guy. So if you need a lead blocker on a fourth and goal or something like that, he's going to be solid for you. I like Arma. He can catch out the backfield too.
That's good to know.
Who else you got, man? Tyler Larson. He's a longtime Panther. Was a backup center for a while. You don't want him starting. You don't want him starting nothing. Like, he's good in rotation. Alex Erickson, he was a wide receiver, spent some time with the Panthers.
He's supposed to be in the talks of punt return, kick return. Is he legit?
He is the worst. we had him last year, I believe it was last year, and he never returned anything. He's a very good fair catcher. Okay, let's roll with that. But outside of that, he never returned anything, so we didn't get to see him much.
Okay.
Aaron Monterio, he's a guy that he's an offensive lineman. He played with us for a while. Again, he's not
even coming up in conversation for us.
Yeah, he won't make the team or anything like that. David Mayo. Mayo, I like Mayo a lot, man.
Might be our starting middle linebacker.
He could play a lot.
I like Mayo. Mayo, again, he played behind Luke, bro. So he's been in that. In the room of greatness, so he knows how to play. We haven't seen it much. Like, I haven't seen it on the field that much, but he's cut from a good cloth. He played behind AJ Klein as well. AJ Klein, who went to the Saints and then went with the went to the I believe with the Bills now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was with the Bills. You're right. Good call.
Yeah. So I think
a lot of time last year towards the end of the season.
Mayo has a lot of potential. I'll say that. I just don't know.
So that's interesting to hear, because the talk in DC is we spent a first round pick on Jamin Davis, I believe like pick 19 or something like that last year. We have Cole Holcomb, who's our so we drafted Jamin Davis to be our middle linebacker. He didn't really pan out that well. He's more of a project traits kind of height, weight, speed kind of guy. They're bumping him out to a weak side linebacker. They have Cole Holcomb play middle linebacker. But what's happening is that Jamin Davis still isn't translating well, so they're putting David Mayo in. And they're basically like, hey, he might be like – they're saying they're putting him in like run packages, but like he's smart. It appears that he's picking up the game faster than Jamin Davis. And I guess it makes sense being a veteran and, you know, being playing behind Luke Kuechly, kind of having that pedigree. So maybe that's what it is. So that's
Mayo's solid. I think Mayo is solid. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be like, oh, he's not going to light it up. But he's a very dependable guy, if that makes
sense. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
go ahead.
I'll throw one back. And I'll throw one back at you, because I want to ask about Ioannidis later on. Go ahead.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. We'll have to come back to that one. Corn Elder's another one. I think he's.
I like Corn Elder. That's my boy. You can hate on. Give me your honest opinion, because I wasn't a big fan of him. But I went to training camp. He was shutting it down a little bit. He was doing pretty good.
No. Corn is solid. I think he got injured, or I can't. He missed. I think he got injured maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and he wasn't the same. He came back to Carolina, and we started replacing him. We put his replacements in, and he never got back in the rotation. We cut him, and then we brought him back, and then he could never kick that get back on the roster. So I think we just kind of phased him out and just kind of replaced him, just because of health issues. But Corn has had some. He's had a couple of highs here. I think he's dependable. Again, I'm not going to throw him out there and say he's going to be your starting cornerback.
No, he's definitely
like
not.
But maybe like throw him in a nickel or something like that. He might be all right.
Competition for that fourth cornerback slot with the rookie with Christian Holmes, I think it is, isn't it? And with Danny Johnson. So
yeah, he's like CB4 or 5, something like that. I can take that. It's not bad.
That's about right. That's where I would have him. You got former Panthers on your roster that are just dependable guys. Like, they're not going to be world beaters.
Roster builders,
Other than Curtis Samuel, I'm not looking at anybody and saying, yo, they the guys. But Andrew Norwell could be. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while, so I don't know. But you just got good guys that have been in the league a long time, that have experience. A lot of them have, you know, been in the playoffs. So, again, I think those are some solid guys to have.
And then finally, Matt Ioannidis. So he was a fan favorite in DC. We loved him here.
Yeah,
he overachieved. I believe he's a fifth round pick. He came out and basically earned himself a second contract. He did very well. And then what ended up happening was he kind of butt heads with Sam Mills, as you probably know. And he basically, we ended up letting Matt Ioannidis go. And he went over to the Panthers and got a good deal over there. We just fired Sam Mills yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't know if you caught that. So,
what's up with that, man? These pops just went into the Hall of Fame.
I think they're doing him a solid, honestly. I think they were trying to fire him, but they were like, oh, damn, this whole Hall of Fame thing's going down. So they kind of let that happen first, and then they fired him afterwards. But because he's butting heads with Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne and with
that's interesting, man. Never would have thought Sam Mills butt heads with anybody.
Apparently, this is the rumor around here, is that all of our guys are alpha guys from Alabama, and they kind of like, you know, they get to talk to a certain way, and it's Chase Young, number 2 overall pick, and all those, and like there's a disagreement with technique, apparently.
Yeah,
like,
you
know, so basically they you know, I guess Washington transitioned from a 2-gap system to a 1-gap system, and now they're trying to get upfield and whatever it is. I mean, we're hearing the whispers from like the beat reporters and stuff like that, but there's a Matt Ioannidis especially did not like Sam Mills, and that's why they had to have that breakup. So
that
how's
is
he doing over there?
Because
it is interesting. But we liked him here. We thought he was a good player. Like, some people were disappointed that he left. So how's he doing with you guys?
So I honestly have not seen a lot of him. I think I actually forgot we even picked him up. I mean, I've been to training camp too.
Okay.
And I haven't really seen or heard his name much at all, to be honest.
Interesting.
With you.
Cool.
So here's the thing, and because we've kind of done this a couple of times with a couple of guys. Morgan Fox is one of them from the Chargers who had a great season with them in rotation. Keyword in rotation, right?
Yeah.
When you come out there and now you're asked to be the guy, can you hold up? Your production changes a little bit.
Yoda, bro.
We are not the guy. And so I don't know I just haven't, bro. I haven't heard.
No, that dude, like, I love it. That's what we're talking here for. That's what I want to hear, bro. That's good to hear. Cause like Ioannidis was that ideal rotational piece. It'd be like, it'd be Allen Payne would be putting out work. He, you know, they'd need a breather. Ioannidis would come and get a sack. Now, by the end of the year, he had 5 or 6 sacks. So it'd be surprising, but he'd kind of slightly putting that work. But he's going to be one of your starting defensive tackles, right?
Yeah, he has to be. Like, we our interior rotation is kind of not good.
Kind of weak,
like,
right now?
Yeah, so we got two solid starters in Derrick Brown and Ioannidis, right? You know, we want Ioannidis to play, kind of play off of Derrick Brown, both of them play off each other. I think one kind of I think they're kind of mirrors of each other. I think they have a similar play style. So I don't know how often they're going to be on the field together. I'm pretty sure they are, but I just don't know how they're going to line it. We could. Our defense is so it's almost damn near positionless. The way the guys we have on our roster,
that's like good.
Brian Burns, you can line guys up anywhere. Yeah. So we don't necessarily have a. It's really weird to say we don't really have a system per se. They just go out there and line guys up, and it's really dependent on who we're playing. They can kind of flex it out and do what they need
what's
to do.
What's your base? 3-4 or 4-3?
So that's a good question. We have we don't really have a. We have a thing where we roll 6 DBs out there. Yeah, just because we got Jeremy Chin, we play a three safety look, a cover three. So it's just a lot. Yeah, so it's a lot of things. Our defense it changes a lot. It changes a lot. So I have.
Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think base defense is almost, you know, almost don't really exist anymore. I mean, we're theoretically 4-3, and I think that we actually played in that 4-3 base about 15% of the snaps last year. So that just goes to show, doesn't it? So.
It's difficult. It's difficult to call our base defense because we'll line up in all kind of strange. You look at the film, you'll be like, man, what the – who's lined up? Why is he lined up over there, man? So it's difficult to call.
I gotcha. So I got one more question for you, and then honestly, Rashad, I'm not, you know, respect, if you want to ask us any question about watching.
No, we're good. Yeah, I do got a couple of questions. I had to follow up on my guys, but go ahead.
All right, so one question for you. So what's your expectations for the season, man, or in the division? Like, what are you – you know, we're not ragging on you at all. It's just honest opinion. Like, what are you guys thinking for the year? Are you guys, like, you know, are you guys competing for the wild card? Are Buccaneers still, like, the, you know, talk of the town for the division? What's going on? Atlanta, are you worried about Atlanta? Like, what's going on there?
Nah, we're not worried about Atlanta, man. We definitely not worried about Atlanta. That's the last team we worried about. But it's going to be between the Bucs and the Saints. I think the Bucs and the Saints, they have this thing going. And to be honest, they should be 1-2. I think people are going to be sleeping on the Panthers. Obviously, we don't have much to boast right now. But I think we could sneak up on a couple of teams. Okay. Am I expecting that? I'm not going to necessarily set myself up for failure, but I am a little hopeful this year. I think, again, the talent is just so frustrating because the talent is there, right? The talent is on the roster. We just need our coaching, and we brought in some coaches with NFL experience. McAdoo, who's been solid as a coordinator, right? Yeah. Sucks as a head coach, but as a coordinator, he's decent. Brought in Steve Wilkes again, who sucked as a head coach, but a really good coordinator, right? Yeah, and I love Steve Wilkes is an awesome coordinator. So you bring him in, and he's not the defensive coordinator, but he's on the defensive staff, right?
Yeah.
So you bring him in, the secondary coach, like, dude, I'm telling you, our secondary is going to be top 5 in the league. I'm calling it right now. Our secondary is going to be that good, and I think it's going to be able to propel the entire defense. So I think, just to give a kind of a final number on the number of wins, dude, I really think if we're not in a discussion of 8 wins, 8 and 9, I'm going to be disappointed.
Okay.
I'm not going to say we're going to snag a wild card, but we need to be in that discussion. Like, it needs to be coming down to the end of the season. Well, we're actually in the graphic, right? We want to be the hunt graphic. And yeah, I think that's where you'll see that's where you'll see the Carolina Panthers in the hunt in December. But I don't know if we'll end up getting a wild card. We could sneak up on some folks. I think the talent is there, but we got to stay healthy. We can stay healthy. I think we'll be all right.
Here's one last softball question for you. How do you feel about those black helmets, bro?
Coldest uniforms in
fire,
the league,
dude.
Bro.
It's fire. They're fire as hell. That's really
coldest uniform in the league, man. Listen, we've been clamoring for that black helmet for years.
That's hard,
at least
man.
10 years.
Yeah,
at least 10 years. Yeah, I got it right here.
You already got one already? I want to see. That's awesome, man. That's cool. I'll be pumped too, man. I'm not going to lie. That's fresh. Get the full size and the mini. Dig the full size. That thing's sharp, man. That's hard, man. That's real hard. That's real cool. How many games are going to wear this year? They have to talk about it yet or not?
Probably. So the only one they're planning to wear is going to be against the Falcons. Okay. We have the blackout game. They're going to have all black uniforms. Bro, coldest uniforms in the league, man. Those uniforms are cold.
They are cold, man.
We'll see. We'll see what – I don't know if we're going to wear it anymore, probably during the wintertime, because that black helmet is going to track heat, and I don't think you'll see that during the season, early in the season too much. So we'll see.
I like that helmet. And I like the white Bengals helmet. Those are both pretty sharp. Those are both pretty cool. And the red Falcons was pretty cool. I know you probably won't give props to the Falcons, but
no, I like that one. I actually like that one. And I was actually mad as hell when they posted that, because I was like, "Yo, where's our alternate?" Because the Saints posted their alternate first.
Yeah,
the Saints posted theirs first, and then the Falcons posted theirs. And I'm like, "Okay, this is all right. Come on, man. Like, what's going on?" And then we finally posted ours.
The Saints one isn't that good. I got to be honest with you. I don't like the Florida leaf, like the stripe down the middle. I don't really like that look.
Yeah.
The Falcons, like Deion Sanders, kind of gives me that vibe from back in the day. Cool. Yeah, and then basically that black one. That's
the only one I haven't liked at all so far is the Bears, that orange thing. Have you seen the Bears one?
I haven't seen the Bears one.
It's rough. It's all orange. It's almost like a
matte orange one, which is pretty horrific.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. How about y'all uniforms, man?
I'm wearing one of them right here. I don't know.
I like it. Well, it's all right.
You can be honest. I think so. Straight up, I think it's polarizing here in DC. We got a black jersey. That black jersey is fresh. I don't know if you see it in the background.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, the black one's sharp, man.
The black one's hard. Yeah. We have a black helmet that goes with it with the numbers on it. That's real cool. The burgundy jerseys are pretty. They're pretty. Like, I think the burgundy jerseys were kind of more for like. We have two types of fans. We have fans that are kind of like generational and legacy fans that have been around for a minute. And we have like younger fans that are like, all right, it's time for a change kind of thing. So I think the burgundy jerseys are kind of more for like the legacy fans, but like the white ones and the black ones are kind of progressive. Of the three, the white one gets a lot of hate, but I like the white ones. I think they're all pretty cool. So I'm a four, man. Our helmets are fresh, too. Obviously, our helmets are pretty cool.
How many helmets do you have? You have two helmets, right?
We have two right now. We have a black helmet. We have that matte burgundy one's pretty hot. And supposedly –
I like that. I like the burgundy one.
Dude, it's sharp. Man, I'm not going to lie. It's pretty sharp. So I've seen it in person, too. It's it has – I forget the name of it. It's like iridescent, I guess, where it's like you look at it from one color and it changes. Like, it's cool, man. So I like that. And it's cool. And
it's interesting because it's got it's a shiny black, isn't it? Not matte black, and it's got the W on the front.
Yeah, that's the only thing I don't like with the W on the front.
The numbers on the side, I think. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the W on the front, I don't think.
Yeah, the numbers on the side is collegey to me. I don't know how I feel about that.
I think what happened
2 years anyway, so.
I think that's what happened. I think basically, there's a lot of fan feedback. They're always kind of asking fans what's going on. And I think some of the fans like the numbers from the past 2 years. So they kind of kept it on that. But they might change in a couple years. We'll see what's up.
We said half the roster was from Alabama, so they may as well just get the numbers.
I was thinking about that, too. You got a lot of Alabama guys. They probably love that joint.
Yeah. Well, you need to start playing like Alabama. That'd be nice.
That's true.
Hey, so I got a question for y'all. Real quick. All right, so you've had Ron Rivera for a couple years. Listen, Panthers fans, we love Ron Rivera, but we felt like I can speak for myself. I felt like Ron Rivera, he kind of reached his ceiling, and he's only going to take you so far in this league the way it is constructed right now. So, kind of where do you stand with Ron? I think you have enough information to kind of make a decision, kind of either way on how you feel about him. Yeah, so kind of how you feeling about Ron?
Tony, you want to go first or maybe you go for it?
Well, I'll start and then you can jump in if that's all right.
Sure.
I think he's coming into his third year now, and I think he was exactly what we needed at the time. He came in, he said it was going to take sort of 3 years to change the culture, because obviously there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes organisationally as well as just on the field. And he came in not just as a head football coach, but he also came in effectively as a GM, CEO, all those kind of roles. So he basically did everything. I don't think he's a particularly creative coach. I think he's quite old school in that regard. I think that, in terms of at least offensively, Scott Turner, he leaves that to him. Obviously, Ron's a defensive guy. I don't think he's particularly imaginative or creative, but I think he's brought the organisation a degree of stability that was really needed at the time. Whether he can take us to the next level, I think this season is going to be really pivotal. I think Ron knows that himself. He's actually, he's pretty much come out and said that. If we show major progress this year, then I'd be optimistic that we might be able to become a regular playoff team. If we don't really do much again this year, you'd have to ask questions about where about the direction that we're going in. So I like him. I think that we haven't had somebody that we can kind of trust, if you like, for a few coaches before that. But yeah, it's a fair question as to whether he can take us to the next level.
I think Tony nailed it. I think he's a good bridge coach. I think Washington was very unstable, a lot of cultural issues going on. And I think with Ron Rivera, he's a culture guy. I don't know how much he's involved in regard to the play calling and things like that. I think he's more of a delegator. We have Scott Turner and Jack Del Rio, so he's kind of overlooking that and kind of seeing how that goes. You know, we could talk about Scott Turner if you want. I'm kind of intrigued by him. I think he has some potential. I think he kind of was limited because the last couple of years we've had, like, we haven't really had any good quarterbacks. We had Taylor Heineke and, you know, injured, you know, Dwayne Haskins, and we've had injured, no, we've had a lot of rotation with the quarterbacks. I just think we just need stability there. So I do want to see how he goes. I don't think Ron Rivera is a Super Bowl coach, to be honest with you. I think he's more of like a coach that can get you to 500, get you to playoffs, kind of stabilize you. So I think ideally I want him to get us on our feet and then eventually maybe transition maybe out of the team or into the front office, possibly just kind of like get our team on the right foot, but then maybe get a more of an offensive minded guy. So I don't know if you, and I'll throw this back to you, Rashad. Sorry for the question to you. Do you think Scott Turner could potentially become like somebody, like we've had Kevin O'Connell, we've had Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur come. You had so many offensive coordinators come through here and go other places.
We've had every great offensive mind in the NFL come through.
Like, could Scott Turner ever, like, could he do that in your opinion? But you guys only had him for like half a year though, right?
Yeah, so, we didn't have him long at all. He was only there for like a half a year. So, and I know he's the guy that unlocked Curtis Samuel. So I do give him credit for that. But I don't know. I don't know if he can end up, obviously got the pedigree, right? It's Pops.
Yeah.
So
that's what we're banking on, like, you know, the North Carolina is at home.
I don't know. But so for me, in my opinion, if I'm building the team, like, I always want the offensive mind. Like, this is why I'm so against Matt Rhule. It's nothing against him personally. But the way the league is going, if you just watch the league, you need that offensive guy, because guess what? If your team is successful, your offensive guy is going to get plucked by somebody else. 100%. And then you're playing the carousel with your offensive coordinator. And so right now we're in the same boat that you're in. Cause I'm with you. Ron Rivera, I mean, he can call defense. He's an amazing defensive coach. So he has that to fall back on if you need it.
Yeah.
But we have a guy that's a delegator. He's a people manager.
Yeah.
As a head coach.
CEO.
And that doesn't, he's a CEO. And that doesn't, that is not what we need as a head. We need a guy that can take something and run with it if needed. Right. You don't have to set the call to plays if you don't want to. But if necessary, if push comes to shove, you have to say, hey, this is my team. I'm taking ownership of it. And so that's what we're missing from the Carolina Panthers standpoint. That's why I love that we have those older head coaches on our roster now. But I think you hit the nail on the head with Ron, bro. I think Ron, listen, I love Ron Rivera, bro. And I agree with us moving on from him at the time, because I thought we need to go to the next level, just like you were saying. Yeah. That's exactly how I felt about Ron. We got to get to the next level, and I just don't know that he's going to be the coach to do it. I think the way his style is, he's old school, and I just think there's a cap on it. You got to be able to kind of adjust with the times, and I just don't think that he hasn't done that 100% yet. Now, he has done some changes with you. He's changed a little bit with you all, because with us, our rookies got no playing time, no matter where they were drafted, unless they were like, you know, top guys. Obviously, Cam Newton comes in, he gets a start. But you had to really earn your spot. Brian Burns was a gunner for us.
That's funny.
Right? It's a running joke that Brian Burns, hey, just throw Brian Burns in as a gunner, because that's what Ron Rivera did. He has a really – and I don't know if
he doesn't do that. So just to give you context, he doesn't do that at all. Like, I think when he came over, I think he's – he took it as a different perspective of coaching, right? So he inherited Cam Newton. He's like, all right, I have a quarterback. Now I'm going to build around that quarterback. And I think what ended up happening
He
drafted Cam, and he drafted Luke Kuechly too, right? So they both were – so basically he had them both. But for us, I feel like he's like we have to start with bare bones. We're going to have the roster build. And I think we honestly have like one of the youngest like teams in the league. Like we have Carson Wentz, who's like 29, he's our starting quarterback. And then we have Charles Leno, who's our left tackle, is like 30-ish. And it's basically like everyone else is like 26 and below that's starting. And basically Jahan Dotson, who we drafted out of Penn State, is going to be our starting slot wide receiver.
That is really surprising.
Yeah, so it's funny. It's a youth movement. Very young team, and not a lot of big contracts either. The biggest, like, we had like $30, $40 million of salary cap space, and then Carson Wentz, like, engulfed it. But other than him, it's like, I think it goes Carson Wentz, William Jackson, then Curtis Samuel are our three biggest contracts. And, like, Curtis Samuel's going to pay, like, $10 or $12 million, like, not even that much. It was pretty wild. So it's a young team, and I think he's, like, roster building, and I think that's what we need. I think in D.C., it's like we've been so messy for so many years. It's like, get us on our feet, build a like almost like a college program, and then you're gonna have to set up in the sunset and give us a nice little offensive coordinator to kind of take us over the top. I think that's my hope, at least.
Yeah,
no, I think that's the best way to build it, man. You gotta have an offensive guy.
Yeah.
But
any other questions, bro? Let it happen. Whatever you
want.
Nah,
that's it. Nah, we talked about all of our guys. You got half the Panthers on the run. You like Panthers? Panthers North is the Bills. They have a lot of our guys too. So you guys are what?
They call us the Commanthers, what they call us.
Yeah, the Commanthers. Oh, I haven't heard that one. The Commanthers.
We get that every once in a while. So.
That's funny. That's yeah, cool. We call Buffalo the Buffalo Panthers because they got a lot of former Panthers. Our guys are all over the place, man. But you know, it's good though because we got some good ballers on our squad, and we had to purge some of that those older guys. But man, you guys got some good steady guys on that roster. And you know what, I have one more question. What do you guys think about the division? Like I think Philly looking good, bro.
So my honest opinion, I think the Cowboys are still the team to beat. I don't know if you agree with that or not. They took a step back. They lost Amari Cooper, like, and they lost a couple. Trust me, we don't like the Cowboys either. I'm just being honest with you, right? So the reason why I say that, maybe it's like that bias, is I'm a season ticket holder. I've been to the games. The Cowboys smoked us, bro. They freaking smoked us twice. And it was like, it looked like, honestly, last year, they had a nice winner to go on a deep run. They got knocked out in the first round. So it's like I think the window might have closed a little bit, but it was definitely, they were 12-5 last year. They were game breakers. The Eagles definitely built up a lot too. I think the Eagles are a good team. The only reason why I don't buy into the Eagles 100% is their schedule was so weak last year. They were like 9-8. They beat up on like backup quarterbacks and like Mike Glennon and Garrett Gilbert. If you look at the roster, Sam Darnold, they beat up on all them people. And it was like, come on, man.
They did what we did the season before.
Yeah. Our 2020 Washington was a 2021 Eagles, in my opinion. But like, I have Eagle friends and they're confident. So like, honest opinion. My opinion, Tony, you can jump in a second.
Yeah.
I think the Cowboys will probably win the division. Okay. I think the Eagles probably be a wild card, but I think it's gonna be like Cowboys, Eagles, and the Commanders, like kind of like fighting for two playoff spots. I think it's gonna be like the playoff spots are gonna be the wild cards. I think one wild card is gonna come from the NFC West. And then basically it's gonna be one from the North, maybe like Vikings and Packers are both gonna make it. And then it's gonna be like, you know, what's going to happen? It's going to be Eagles, Washington, or something like that. So
I think you got to throw one in from the South, bro. I think the Saints are going to be good.
Yeah, Saints are going to be good. I think the Saints are up
there. Saints are going to be good.
I think Saints 49ers, Vikings. I can see the Cardinals. It's going to be a good little mix. So
it's going to be a fun fight because I think in the NFC East, I probably disagree with George in the sense that I think the Eagles are probably marginal favorites. I think the Cowboys probably have taken a step back. I mean, you know, as it stands at the moment, you know, the receiver room is bare. The offensive line's not as good as it once was. The defense was outstanding last year, number one in DVOA, but can, you know, is that sustainable? They had such a, I was listening to a podcast tonight, actually, they were saying that the Cowboys, the turnover ratio and what they did with that was so outstanding that it's practically unsustainable. There has to be some regression this year on that. So I think the Cowboys will step back. Now, the Eagles obviously appear to have strengthened on paper, but, you know, the game's not played on paper, is it, guys? So, I think Jalen Hurts is massive because if Jalen Hurts takes the next step, I think that the Eagles will definitely win the division. You know, as I say, with A.J. Brown, with some of the guys that they drafted,
defense, bro. The potential, Jordan Davis, man, Hassan is...
James Bradbury, Darius Slay. They got some people, man. They got some players out there.
I forgot about Bradbury.
But I think that the Commanders have a sneaky strong roster. I think that, you know, I think that what we were kind of talking about before, I think Rivera's built up a quite a decent roster. You know, there's a lot. The only thing for me is there's still a lot of ifs and buts. If the ifs and buts come out, we're gonna do well. You know, Samuel's healthy. If Dotson plays well, you know, if the defense. Again, I think our defense might be the opposite to the Cowboys. I'm not suggesting that we're going to be the number one defense or anything like that. But I think there was so much hype around the defense last year, and they massively underachieved. I think this year they will probably come back up again somewhere towards, you know, certainly the top half of the league. So Carson Wentz obviously is massive because, you know, there's obviously a lot of negativity surrounding him nationally, and I think that he obviously had a really bad end to last season. I think a lot of people remember that, but. What people need to remember is that for the last few years in Washington, we've had league worst quarterback play. So if we even get league average quarterback
about, play, I don't know about it. I might have had the worst quarterback last year, bro.
Well, yeah, but well,
it's close
down at the bottom.
In this way, it's not been great quarterback play, and yeah. even if Wentz is anything like league average, which he has been, you know, we're not expecting him to be a top 10 guy, but if he's even average. Then I think that could elevate us. We won 7 games last year with an injury, you know, a terrible injury rate and a backup quarterback. So,
y'all sound like the Panthers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parallels.
Very similar. Commanders. That's funny, man.
It is. But I think we could win. I think we could win 9-10 games with a decent.
Yeah, I think we're all looking at 9-10 games. We're looking at because we have a weak schedule. We have like the 31st overall schedule last year, so we're looking pretty good there. We start off with the Jaguars and the Lions, so we'll see.
Start good. Start hot.
Yeah,
we got the Browns. I think we got the Browns and Saints. Yeah, Browns Saints.
I got you. So we'll see what's up, man. Cool. Good. I was going to say, all right, fellas. So honestly, I'll about to wrap it up unless you guys have any last minute questions. Are you guys good?
All good.
All right, cool, man. I appreciate all the conversations. Tony, we'll start off with you, man. Where can they find you on social media? What are you working on, man? Drop whatever you want.
I am, as you can see, hopefully on the screen there, at Tony J. Wheat. Contribute for Full Press Commanders with George. Dropped an article, I think it was last week, on the tight end situation in Washington. I think I've jinxed everybody because they were all injured. Well, yeah, hopefully putting a few more things together before the start of the season. So look out for that.
Sounds good. Rashad, man, drop, you know, where can they find you on socials? What, you know, plug your channel, do whatever you want, bro.
Yeah, man. So you can find us at Panther Nation PC on Twitter. You can find us Panther Nation Podcast on Facebook if you're still using that. And Panther Nation PC on Instagram. Yeah, man. Panther Nation Podcast on YouTube, or it's PNP Rashad and Dave Show. Either way, shout out to my co-host, Dave. Yeah, man, we get busy. 17,000 subs. Mm-hmm. And we cover the draft. We cover a lot of things. So even if you're not a Panthers fan, there's some good stuff over there you can enjoy. Funny enough, I forgot. I did have a chance to speak to Stephen Davis. Good friend of you all. We interviewed him.
We
interviewed him. I think the football team came up. So yeah, man, good stuff. So you might find something you enjoy on there. So just come over there and hit the sub button, all that good stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, I gotta give Rashad some props, man. He definitely has been on my show for 2 years in a row now. Great channel. I actually was peeping it before we came on. He has some good interviews, like Mike Minner, Stephen Davis, a couple other good people like that. So, you know, so good for him, man. Definitely give him a follow on YouTube, man. So that's that. And guys, I'm George Carmi at GCarmi21 on social media. I'm host of the Full Press Commanders podcast. Definitely hit us up and like and subscribe our channel. Other than that, guys, enjoy the game on Saturday. Be sad, and I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace.